Chapter 45. Jesse and Vinnie Morris sat with Cokes in front of them at the Gull in the middle of the afternoon. Candace Pennington would be at Jesse's office in an hour, having told him that she'd make the trip up from Newton, that he didn't have to come to her. Suit was the one who had tracked her down. When he'd gotten her on the phone and told her that he was calling about Beau Marino and friends, she said, "I hope something terrible has happened to all of them." Vinny said, "You still think this guy Marino is a threat to use?" Jesse smiled. Vinny still sprinkled just enough of the old neighborhood into his conversation to remind you where he came from and who he was. But Jesse never needed reminding, even when their interests were aligned, the way they were now. "He is until I establish he's not," Jesse said. "But I told you, when you came up, that you should leave whenever you needed to." "Still looking at this shit as a working vacation," Vinny said. Vinny wore a summer blazer the color of eggshells, a white polo shirt underneath buttoned to the neck. His mannerisms, as always, were as neat and precise as a neurosurgeon's. He sipped some of his Coke, put the glass down on its coaster. Jesse was about to ask him if he'd recently had a manicure, but was worried Vinny might shoot him in broad daylight. "Marino is missing," Jesse said. "The other one, who was a part of the rape of that girl, just went into the water."
"World's a random place," Vinny said. "But my experience is that it ain't that random."
It was Vinny who had dealt with Mr. Peepers, the man who'd killed Jesse's fiancée, Diana. Jesse had allowed it, if not sanctioned it. There had been times in Jesse's life, in his career as a cop, when he knew that the legal system would fall short of true justice. That was one. Vinny had asked Jesse once about that, if he had any regrets. Jesse told him only that he wasn't able to do it himself. Vinny had said they were probably more alike than Jesse liked to think. Jesse told him not to let that get around. Somehow, their similarities had never gotten in the way of their differences, at least so far. They sat quietly now and looked out the front window.
"I was thinking today," Vinny said, "that looking at the water is like looking at ass. You think you'd never get tired of it, but you do."
Jesse smiled.
Vinny said, "Who you think will leave town first, Sonny or me?"
Jesse smiled again.
"You asking me to choose?" "Just curious."
"Unclear," Jesse said. Now Vinny almost smiled.
"You think about it," he said. "What the fuck isn't?"
Jesse said, "Who watches Elena when you're not?"
"Don't worry about it," Vinny said.
"I'm the chief of police," Jesse said. "Makes me a worrier by nature."
"No shit," Vinny said. "Why I'm here."
Candace Pennington was no longer the scared, wounded teenager that Jesse remembered. She was a beautiful and confident young woman, entering Jesse's office as if she wanted to sell something or buy the whole place. She was very blonde now, wearing a rose-colored summer dress. The strap of her Apple Watch seemed to try to match the color of the dress. Maybe she had a collection of them. He noticed a simple gold band on the ring finger of her left hand. She sat across from Jesse's desk, in one of the two visitors' chairs. Molly sat next to her.
"I appreciate you making the ride up here," Jesse said.
"My first time here in years," she said. "What's the old line? Happiness for me was paradise in my rearview mirror."
Molly said, "How are your parents?"
"Divorced," Candace said. "My dad's still an architect, working in New York City now. My mother is full-time on Nantucket," she sighed, "trying to live her best life." There were things that stayed with you. Jesse could still remember Margaret Pennington slapping the back of Candace's head from the chair in which Molly sat now.
"I liked your dad," Jesse said.
"I do too," she said.
"Still remember him slugging Beau and his dad," Jesse said.
"He's still grateful that you let him."
"Better him than me," Jesse said. Candace Pennington folded her hands in her lap. "I heard about Troy," she said. "Did he kill himself?"
"To be determined," Molly said.
"And you think Beau might have had something to do with it?" Candace said.
"Also to be determined," Jesse said.
"I'm not afraid of him," Candace Pennington said.
"We're not saying you should be," Molly said. "We just wanted you to be aware."
Then told her about the attacks against Jesse and her and Suit. About Beau's house seeming to have been abandoned. Now, Troy's death. "Have you noticed anything in your own life lately out of the ordinary?" Molly said.
"My life since high school has been out of the ordinary," Candace said.
"Are you married?" Jesse said.
"Not that it's relevant, Chief Stone," she said, "but I am."
"Has your husband noticed anything out of the ordinary?" Jesse said.
"Wife," Candace Pennington said, "and no."
Jesse saw Molly smiling at Candace Pennington.
"Chief Stone," she said, "sometimes isn't nearly as modern as he likes to think he is."
"We're not trying to alarm you," Jesse said. "Just wanted you to be aware of our circumstances and how they might impact your own."
"So, you're still looking out for me?" she said.
"In a way," Jesse said, "I guess I am."
"What about the other one? Kevin Feeney," Candace said. "Whatever happened to him?"
Molly told her.
"So he left and came back," Candace said.
"Maybe he finally grew a pair. He always seemed to be the weakest of the three."
"He said what you said," Molly said. "He's no longer afraid of Beau Marino."
Candace smoothed out the front of her dress.
"I let all of them control my life for a long time," she said.
"For far too long after I left town. I have no plans to ever let them do it again." She looked at Jesse.
"There was a time when I wanted to kill all of them. Would it shock you to know I learned how to shoot a gun?"
Jesse smiled.
"Forewarned is forearmed," he said.
"I wish I'd had a gun back in those days," she said.
She leaned back in her chair and closed her eyes for a moment.
"Not one of them ever sought me out to apologize," she said. "I'm not sure I would have accepted it, but none of them even tried, not even Kevin, the one the other two made fun of because he didn't want his turn."
Her eyes were still closed. It was as if she were talking to herself.
"You know, the only boy in the whole school who apologized? A friend of theirs, who didn't go along with them that night. Jerry Brock."
Molly said, "He's still in town. I think he's in real estate now."
"He swore he had no idea that it would go that far," Candace said, "but that he should have said something to me."
Then she asked Molly if she could have a private moment with Jesse before she left. Molly shook her hand and left. Then it was just Jesse and Candace, in the same office where they'd met when she was a girl, scared of everything and everybody. Beau and Kevin Feeney and Troy Drake and her classmates. And her bitch of a mother.
"You were there when I needed you," she said. "I'll never forget that."
"Part of the job."
"But you don't have to worry about me anymore," she said. "You know what they say. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger."
"Glad to hear it," he said.
"And I'll tell you a little secret," she said. "When I fire my weapon, I hit what I'm aiming at."
She gave him a quick hug before she left. As she did, she said,
"You better find him before I do."
"Wasn't aware you were looking for him," Jesse said.
"Figure of speech," Candace Pennington said, then was gone.